DJ Eclipse, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Now, your documentation of the local George Floyd and Black Lives Matter protests is gaining national attention. What a righteous project. What was your initial reaction to that tragedy, and what called you and your camera to arms here?
For a while, I really didn't want to watch the video because I knew it was going to make me feel some kind of way. And then I finally sat down to watch it. And for like 4 to 6 hours after I watched it, my stomach was in a complete mess. So I'm glad that I watched it prior to going to the protest because it kept my focus, reminding me on why this was important and how to document it.
And even through the horror, you knew you had to document it.
Yes, yes.
So the exhibit is called Voices. How did that resonate with you as well as the message?
For me, it was just because everyone has a voice, and some people feel like their voice may not be as important as other people. To me, that's false, because it's not about how many followers you have or how big your social media presence is or if you're some political figure or influencer. Like, everyone has a voice that should be just as valuable, and to document those voices to remind people that this was their only chance to express themselves. They're not going to be blessed sometimes with the opportunity to do interviews such as these or be, you know, interviewed on TV or print or whatever. So to me, it was the longer I can let these voices speak in whatever direction that goes, then the mission kind of was accomplished.
Indeed. And in fact, that direct reflection of the unrest, of all the horror that was happening, you could turn into a very positive thing.
Yes. And it was important for me to document it in the way that I did, because too quickly these narratives get swung in the other direction. I remember when I first started posting the images, and I would get comments like, well, you know, where are the pictures of the broken windows at Jimmy John's? And what about this busted door? And I'm like, I'm sure there's other people that are capturing that, but that's not what I aim to do, because that's how these conversations quickly get steered in the other direction, where it becomes so focused on what 2% of the people did that the other 98% are forgotten.
And it's those voices,
yes.
Exact voices.
Yes,
yeah,
and then those voices just get lost in the shuffle, and then it gets called a riot and all this other stuff. And it's like, no, people showed up for a reason, and it's important to stick to that reason. So that way we can have the proper dialogues and conversations to have a solution.
And as you do become known for your renderings of these strong visual messages, where does it allow you to go with your own message, even as that includes sharing all of theirs?
I try to keep myself to a minimum because I really don't want it to be about me. Hence again, you know, voices. I'm simply a tool to help other people be listened to. One of my favorite photographers who I studied his work heavily was Gordon Parks. And my favorite quote from him was, "The subject matter is always more important than the photographer." You have to kind of keep that in the forefront of your work. Are you shooting photos, or are you trying to capture this moment and what they're saying, whether that's with their eyes or with their body language or vocally, whatever it is, capture the image that lets them continue to speak.
You are a reporter.
In a way.
In a powerful way.
Well, you know, the more I learned about photography, the more you're right. It becomes a form of journalism, of reporting, of storytelling, of, you know, narrating this time period. And I think it's just important to keep that in mind when you're doing this work, that this is not about you. It's about the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you list emotion as the driving force of your photography and film work.
Yes.
As well as what drew you to your first camera. When and why was that?
As a musician, it started out with the need to create my own content. So I started in a different direction than other people. Usually people start in photography and then they veer to video. I started with video and then transcended to photography. So I was just doing basic video content. And then I got a job working at Sonny Schick, working under Bill Christie. And the more I got around him and around the other people that worked there, that's when I really started looking at photography. And then the one thing he told me was, you need to study the great photographers that came before you, whoever that is. You know, find somebody that's going to inspire what you do. That's when I discovered the works of like Gordon Parks, of Bruce Gilden. Of course, you have your Ansel Adams and all those others, but I was drawn more to the emotional and the grittier and the more narrative type of photography, black and white.
The voices.
Yes, yes.
Now, for some folks, it would be before their time, but Sunny Chic was the iconic camera mm-hmm. store here in Fort Wayne, mm-hmm. and you are talking about the legendary yes. owners. So once you were hooked on photography, working there, mm-hmm. where all did you find yourself heading for doing more?
I would get off work, and then I would walk around downtown every day and shoot, just every day. And the more you shoot, the more you start to find your own kind of style and voice, because that's what I struggled with in the beginning. It was like, okay, well, what do you shoot? Do you shoot animals? Do you shoot, you know, whatever it is? And the more you get into it, the more you just start to find yourself. And then once you find it, you just start to seek it. And then it starts to seek you. At some point, you stop looking for it and it starts looking for you. So it's kind of that, it's that weird journey, you know?
Sure. Would it be fair to say that that at least helped you open your eyes to the mission that you continue on to this day? Strictly because you were a shooter and you were on that street?
Yes, because one of my favorite works of Gordon Parks was he did a whole series on race in America. And it was just this whole photo series showing Black people in shops that had, you know, colored only and all these different perspectives. But he made it really human to the point where it's not just about race, but these are people. These are human beings. And I think the more that you start to look at people as human beings and not just a topic, then things become a little bit more realistic. And then you can get into those conversations to then have the change that you're looking for.
And you can feel the emotion, but also the objectivity. Does it better sort things out?
Yeah. I mean, because I think it's hard to look someone in the eyes and then deny that they exist. You know, it's easy to look at somebody as an abstract. Then it's like, okay, I can quickly dismiss that. But if I can see the subject and I can look in their eyeballs and I can see the pain in their eyes or I can see whatever emotion it is they have, now I understand that this is a human being.
And so can the rest of the world yes. through your photograph, through yes. your eyes, through your camera lens. Okay, now that your ArtLink show has been up for its first week, mm-hmm. what has the reaction been?
I feel like it's been great for them, but also it's been great for me because I've made sure to be in the gallery to meet people and talk to people, and they can ask me, what was I thinking? And I can ask them what they thought about it. And we get into these nice conversations. Like, there hasn't been any heated debates. There hasn't been any contested debates. It's all been mutual appreciation. I appreciate that they appreciate it and they appreciate me. But at the same time, it sparked a lot of productive conversations. And I think that was really the point of wanting to do it in the way that we did it, was to really make this a conversational piece to now go, okay, this can't just stop at what happened on May 29th and the month of June. What can we do so that our children aren't having this conversation 25 years from now? Maybe we can actually start to resolve this thing.
In fact, these portraits collectively tell a saga. It reflects on a decades-old battle for social justice, and we are all part of that now, as you're indicating. How does that inclusivity bring your energy and inspiration really to the forefront as you continue the dialogue in this way in the 21st century because of the terrible tragedy?
You just have mixed feelings. The week before the exhibit, I went and watched a lot of speeches from like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey and James Baldwin. And it was sad to me that we're still having the same conversation in 2021 that happened in 1968 and the years and decades before that. That part is, on the one hand, it's saddening because we've advanced in everything else, you know, in technology and in food and everything else, but yet we can't get this part right. Why?
That's what your voices speak to.
Yes.
And you have been named one of the voices of Black Lives Matter by Adobe Lightroom, among other organizations, for mm-hmm. this documentation of the protests. Congratulations on that particular accolade. What opportunities has this afforded you to expand your audience and further share the word, open those dialogues that are so meaningful to you?
I feel like it's given me the opportunity to have a lot of conversations I wouldn't have normally had, whether that's with people with the city or with different organizations. I've met so many people since the protests that I've never met in my life, where I've just heard about them or on the news. But like, now to have conversations with these people and have productive conversations, So I think it's just a matter of finding equal ground and really having realistic conversations without being stuck in your own way. You know, the fact that these photos are still initiating those conversations in 2021 from something that happened in 2020 is a blessing in itself, is to know that if these images were powerful enough to continue this dialogue, then mission accomplished for me as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's a wonderful mission that you have. So yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Since music is another passion of yours, as you mentioned, where does it fit in with this mission?
It's been a dual fold purpose because, you know, when I've had interviews about the music, they ask me about the photography. And then when I have interviews about photography, it's about the music. So that was kind of a blessing in disguise because I'm able to use both platforms to address the same issue. I was able to write an op-ed piece for Billboard last year, and it spoke on the same topic, but it was about the issue of race in the music industry. So on either side of the coin, you're going to get the same from me, no matter what platform, because to me, it's just something that's that important.
And the doors that you can open or find opening, you're going to be walking right through there, taking your voices with you.
Yes.
It's really a continuum that's marvelous. Meanwhile, how does photography specifically satisfy your particular passion for storytelling like nothing else can?
It teaches you appreciation. The one thing I learned about photography was like you could literally walk the same route every day for years. And then if you walk that same route again with a camera in your hand, you notice stuff that you probably overlooked forever. Like now that crack in the sidewalk looks different. That tree leaning to the left looks different. The guy who usually sits on the porch and says something or he mumbles something now looks completely different. Like everything changes. It gives you a whole nother outlook on just life and your perspective.
And you have a wonderful perspective going on there, Eclipse. There's no doubt about it. So bottom line, with this show, with all of the shows that come from your heart and speak the voices, what dialogue do you most want to open with everyone who sees this work? How might these voices speak as everybody continues on the journey?
I want people to see the exhibit, and the blessing of the exhibit is that these are pretty huge pieces. So when you walk up to them and you look at them, you almost have to visualize them as human beings because they're literally looking at you. And I want people to walk away from it realizing that these people came out and protested for something that meant a lot to them. And it was refreshing to see that it wasn't just Black people. It was almost every race that represents this city all together. It is a collective. And I think that that's what's going to really take these conversations forward, because when it stops becoming just a Black problem, when it becomes a human problem and to go, look, as human beings, this isn't right. That's what I want people to take away from this. This needs to become a problem to everyone, that this should be addressed by everyone and it should be solved by everyone. It draws on a lot of emotions, and I hope that it doesn't just end with emotions. I hope that those emotions then lead to change.
Fort Wayne resident DJ Eclipse is a photographer and recording artist with work currently on display at ArtLink Gallery. Eclipse, thank you so much for telling this story of your powerful story. Many blessings.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate you.